ओम मंगलम गुरुदेवाय दिव्ये मत्रिक्ष मंगलम मंगलम भक्ता वृंदेव्यो सर्वलोकाय मंगलम ओम स्थापकाय च धर्मस्य सर्वधर्म स्वरूपिणे अवतार वरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय मंगलम ओम सर्वमंगल मंगलये शिवे सर्वार्थ साधिके शरण्ये त्र्यंबके गौरी नारायणी नमोस्तुते स्त्रीस्तिस्थिते विनाशानं शक्तिभूते सनातनी गुणाश्रये गुणामये नारायणी नमस्तुते शरणागत दीनार्त परित्राणापरायणे सर्वस्यात्रि हरि देवी नारायणी नमस्तुते। जय श्री गुरु महाराज जी की जय। जय महामयी की जय। स्वामी जी महाराज जी की जय। जय माँ दक्षिणेश्वरी भवतारिणी दक्षिण काली की जय। जय माँ। सो today we're celebrating the fourth day of Navaratri, and we've been reading every night from the Chandi. We're now on chapter 5. Last night, what happened? So two nights ago, Mahishasura was killed, right? And we read the Shakrari Stuti, the prayers of Lord Indra and the other gods. Very beautiful, sublime prayers, probably the most sophisticated prayers in the Chandi. Very beautiful. At the end of the prayers, these beautiful prayers to the Divine Mother appeared to them and offered them a boon. Right, she was there and she offered them a boon. And their boon was, whenever we are in difficulty, if we remember you, immediately come and save us, end our fear, end our difficulty. And more than that, if anybody is ever in difficulty, if they remember you with these beautiful hymns, these ancient hymns, then you also must come and save them. And she said, "Let's do. Let it be so. May it be so." Right. So this is her prayer. So the theme of that prayer is ultimately, let us when we forget you, we suffer, and remembering you ends our suffering. That's a real simple point of the whole thing. So Mahishasura was a gross demon. We know a buffalo demon represents. If we take him symbolically, represents very crude, animal, bestial type qualities of unrefined lust, anger, greed, jealousy, like this. But there's also refined lust, anger, greed, and jealousy. That's called civilized culture. That's called a vibrant economy, right? And a healthy romantic life, all those type of things, right? So there's many levels. So Mahishasura represents a very gross form, very cruel and overtly selfish and a form of that. And when Mahisha, it started, Mahisha became Indra, right? So this is what happened. So they pray that if this ever happens again, right, you please save us. So it happens again, but more subtly, right? So chapter 5 starts with a meditation mantra on Goddess Saraswati.
It is happening again.
It is happening again. Yeah. Holding a bell, trident, plow, conch, mace, disc, bow, and arrow. Radiant as a moon, shining through the fringes of a cloud, the support of the three worlds, upon you, Mother Saraswati, the destroyer Shumba and other demons, we meditate. So we mentioned that each of the charitas, each of the sections of the stories, has a different bija mantra that summarizes it, right? The first was Aim, Om Aim, of the first chapter. The next three chapters were pervaded by Om Hrim, or Lakshmi, so Saraswati and Lakshmi. This is Om Kleem. Right? Kleem here is a mantra. Of course, Kleem is known as the Kama Bija. Right? Also Krishna Bija, Bhakti Bija, Kali Bija, but its official name is Kama Bija. And so it represents here Kali, but Kali in a very unique form. Kali here, Kleem is desire, right? Kama. Right, so if the mantra for Kamadeva, for Cupid, is also Kleem. There's a mantra for Cupid, a Kama Gayatri, that's there. Right. So we think, how is it that this is not a very refined thing? Cupid causes a lot of trouble, right? Even Shiva had to burn Cupid. There was so much botheration of him. But Cupid means here is a symbol of desire, and desire has a huge spectrum. Right. At the lowest form, it's pure selfish lust, self-centered lust, right? And at the highest form, it's the ecstatic love of God. Kleem is also the mantra for Krishna, right? This is this invokes, embodies the love between the gopis and Krishna, the highest selfless love, right? So it's being a mantra of desire is not only selfish desire. Not all desire, that's the big announcement, not all desire is selfish, right? Love is, real love is not completely selfless. That's real desire. Because what we want is union, desire for union, desire for the beloved. That is what we're hankering after. But in our crude state, and in the control of the lower appetites, like Mahishasura, it becomes a mess, right? Because we're desiring union in a way that is impossible to get, impossible to find satisfaction. But through slow refinement of our emotions, purification of the mind and heart, sadhana, spiritual life, our selfishness begins to, it's supposed to, we hope, slowly wash away. We wash the mind and heart of all the unclean things that have gathered there since time immemorial. And that devotion, our real desire then is uncovered, right? So desire, so it starts with kleem, and this is the desire, this is the mantra for Kali. Om kleem, Rishu Vacha. The sage said, the demon brothers Shumba and Nishumba, due to the force of their pride and strength, robbed the husband of robbed Indra of his sovereignty over the three worlds and his portion of the sacrifice. They also took the control away from Surya, the sun, Chandra, the moon, Kubera, Yama, Varuna. They likewise took away from Vayu and control from Vayu and Agni. Deprived of their authority, all the gods were defeated. Denied their duties and expelled by these two demons, the god remembered the invincible goddess. So this is a little different. Now, another two demons have come up. Right, Shumba and Nishumba, two very important demons, right? And in the next many chapters, there's going to be Shumba and Nishumba are much more subtle, and their attendants are much more subtle, right? They're generals of their armies, right? So what does Shumba and Nishumba mean, right? So you can think of Shumba as just an ego, right? Self-centeredness, self-conceit, conceit, right? So this egotistical idea. And so, if Shumba means ego, which means a big self-image, right? The quality of the ego, he has his brother, these are two brothers. Shumba is king, the ego is king, right? Who is Nishumba?
Insecurity.
Insecure. It means a very extreme low self-image, right? Self-loathing. Right, these two always go together. Amber Abitur used to say, in front of a big front, there's a big back. Right, there's somebody who's extremely egotistical. Usually behind it, they're very broken. They're very they feel so much lack, so much insecurity, so much that out of self hatred and out of like that, they come. Their ego gets built. So we mentioned yesterday that these two demons, they're much more. This is more the realm of like deep psychology, right? Self-analysis, right? What's the nature of my ego? What's the nature that's animating my personality? Where does my need to be to be the Lord and controller come from? Right? Comes from a basic brokenness, right? But that basic brokenness isn't our, like in Christianity we think, our original sin. It's our original union, right? We're one with, we're meant to be, we're the Amrita Putra we mentioned last night, right? The Upanishads say we're children of immortality, right? Somehow or another, we're disconnected from that, and that causes great suffering, right? And from that suffering, we react. That reaction is called ego, right? The self-centered ego, not just a regular ego, regular identity, right? So the demon brothers, Shumba and Nishumba, due to the force of their pride and strength, robbed the husband of Sachi, robbed Indra of sovereignty over the three worlds. So, Shumba, Raktip, who was a demon from last night, Mahishasura was killed, right? Because we know his backstory. There were two demons, Ramba and Karamba, right? Doing tremendous austerities, getting boons like this in order to become powerful like this. Shumba and Nishumba didn't have to do these austerities. Just by the nature of ego is pride and pride, right? So pride itself poisons and steals. When pride itself poisons everything, and by pride he stole the three worlds from Indra. And they stole not only Indra, his kingdom and his sovereignty, but also all sovereignty once again of all the gods. The same story again, but more subtly. And he took, actually it says that even the sacrifices, when you go Om Agnaye Swaha, instead of going into Agni, go into the mouth of Shumba and Nishumba. Right? When you offer Arga to the sun, that water you pour towards the sun goes into the mouth of Shumba and Nishumba. Right? Every month, you go Om Namah Shivaya, that mantra goes to Shumba and Nishumba. Right? He stole the portion of all the sacrifice of all the gods. Right? So this is also very deep. Ego, this is what the ego does. It takes everything. Even though which is not meant for itself. It wants to enjoy everything, right? And actually the mantra we chant, every mantra, most mantras have the word Namaha. Like Om Namah Shivaya, right? Om Durgaye Namaha. Om Sri Krishnaya Namaha. What is this Namaha? Namaha comes from the Sanskrit of Namaha is Na Mam. Na Mama. Right? Not me. Right? The mantra is, and then we even go at the, and we do, when we do in the fireside, we go Om Namah Shivaya, and then Shivaya Idam Namama. Right? Means now this is for Shiva, this is not for me. Right, we have to say it in the mantra. Like otherwise, you go Om Namah Shivaya expecting that we'll benefit from this mantra. Right, we do. Trambakam Bhajamahe. Why? For our health. Right, the mantra is not for us. Right, you go Om Mrityunjaya Shivaya Idam Mama. Right, go. May this mantra go to Shiva. May this mantra go to Durga. Right, if you make a letter and you don't put the proper postage and stamp in the direction, it won't go to where you're going. You have to. So Namaha. Or Namama is not me, this is you. Every mantra should be God, you, not me. You, not me. You. When the ego takes control, me, 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 right? Right? This is the thing, right? What we were discussing the other day when Gita Prana was here, that we expect the ego to die. We hand the japa mala to the ego and say, you please do japa. You know, it's like, right? Like it's not going to destroy itself with this japa, with this, right? Very tricky. So, Shumba and Nishumba took everything from all the gods. So, when this happened, denied of their duties and expelled by the two demons, the gods remembered. Ma, what's with her name here? Do you know? I don't have it here, but I remember. Aparajita. Right? Aparajita means the invincible one. Right, they remember that mother who is invincible. Because they remember before, which is not said here, they thought to themselves, a long time ago this happened also. Right? I remember there was some demon came up, right? And he also kicked us out of heaven. And we were wandering the earth like humans, lost of everything, right? And we remember something miraculous happened. Some Shakti came out of us and formed the great goddess, our own Shakti. And she, within a moment, killed Mahishasura, right? And she gave us a boon. Anybody who remembers her, that forgetfulness of her has led to this problem, right? And remembrance of her, remembering her, praying to her as the essence of everything. The first line of that prayer that they said is that she pervades this entire, her Shakti pervades the entire universe, this entire movable and unmovable universe, right? Remembering that will destroy our suffering. So rather than not knowing what to do, they knew what to do this time. They go to the Himalayas, right? So he says, they thought, she granted us a boon. She told us, whenever in difficulty, if you remember me, that very moment I come and end all your troubles. This is Ma's prayer, Ma's promise, her vow, right? Thinking thus, the gods went to the Himalayas, the king of mountains, and began to praise the goddess, the elusive power of Vishnu. So we don't have to, if now when we see our ego coming up and stealing the results of all of our auspicious actions meant for God, right, we know what to do. We know, somehow or another, we're forgetting what the power is, right? We can again remember. So these, I have the mantras in front of me, very, very old. Let's see here. Tantroktam Devi Stutam. Tantric praise of the goddess is called. Right? Or sometime it's the... Anyways. It starts Namo Devye Mahadevye Shivaye Satatam Namaha Namapakritte Bhadraye Niyata Pranatas Pranata Smatam, right? We bow, Namo Devye, we bow to that goddess. Mahadevye, the great goddess. Shivaye Satatam Namaha. You are, that's pure goodness and pure sattva, pure goodness pervading everywhere. Namaha Pakritye, we bow to you who appear as this whole world of Pakriti, this whole material nature, the primordial cause of everything, Bhadraye, the sustaining power behind Nityaye, who's also eternal. She's everything. You are, we bow to you who are everything, as well as remain unchanging, right? Consciousness, right? Supreme consciousness. Raudraye namo Nityaye, Gaurya Datre namo Namaha. Joshnaye Chandrarupanye Sukkaye Satatam Namaha. We bow to you who are Raudra, fearsome. Right? Not only all goodness and sweetness, we also, if need be, you're also fierce. Right? Rudra means a howler, right? You who are fierce. We bow to you, Nityaye, the eternal one, not just the one who lasts a long time and lives forever, the one who doesn't change. Gaurye, golden. Datre, the support of everything. Namo Namaha. We bow to you. You. Joshnaye Chandrarupan. You are the moon. You are moonlight and you are happiness. Sukhaye. Right, we bow. You are the moon. You are moonlight and you are happiness that comes from the moon. Kalyanye Pranatam Vridye Siddye Kurmo Namo Namaha. Naritraye Bu Budritam Lakshme Sharvarnye te namo namaha. You are welfare, Kalyan, Kalyana. Actually, we have a friend named Kalyani, right? Who's always interested in the good of others, Kalyan. You are welfare, you are prosperity, you are siddhi, you are perfection, you are success. We bow to you again and again. O consort of Shiva, the good and misfortune of kings, we bow to you again and again. I like this, right? Yeah. You are our fortune and misfortune. We read last night, what is it? You are Shri and Lakshmi, right? You are both fortune and misfortune. So Indra, if Indra is saying this, it comes from a very deep understanding, right? You are because you as forgetfulness cause our misfortune, you as remembrance cause our fortune. Durgaye Durgaparaye Saraye Sarvakarinye Katyaye Tathaye Krishnaye Dhumraye Satatam Namaha. O Mother Durga, you take us across our sufferings. You are the essence, the author of everything. Sarvakarinye. You are discrimination and black like the storm cloud and the color of smoke. Dhumraye Satatam Namaha. We bow to you. You are buddhi, but you and you are also black, like a cloud and the color of smoke. Means you are buddhi and you are confusion. You are our enlightenment, you are also our bewilderment, right? Atti samyati rodraye natastasye namo namaha namo jagat patistaye durga devye kritye namo namaha. You are at once atti samyati, you are most gentle, and Raudraye, and most fierce, right? Most terrible. We bow to you again and again. We bow to you, support of the world. O Mother Goddess, who exists as volition, we bow to you again and again. So then starts a very beautiful set. Everybody knows, we'll recite them together and we get going. But it starts, Ya Devi, Sarva Bhuteshu, Vishnu Mayati Shaptita. Ya Devi, that goddess, right? So now it's describing, this is very a little more abstract, not you, but it's now it's a principle, like Tatvamasi, that goddess, Sarva Bhuteshu, that exists in every being, Bhuta, and Sarva means all, Bhuta means being, Bhuta also means element. So not only in every being, every person, every animal, every god, every deva, every demon, everything, but every element, earth, fire, water, air, amkara, ether, mahatata, indriyas, everything, every possible element in everything, in every atom, in every being, you exist, right? Yadevi, to that, we meditate, that goddess that exists in everything, and in everyone, in every being. Vishnu Mayati Saptita, the inscrutable power pervading all things, right? Vishnu Maya Saptita. We bow to you, we bow to you, we namastasye, 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 namo namaha. We bow, we bow, we bow. You know, it's now we're overemphasizing to you, not me, you, not me, you, not me, you, not me. Because this is a mistake, right? They began to think me, and this got us into a mess again, right? So it's repeated. This is an unusual thing to repeat something again and again and again and again like this. Yadavi sarva bhuteshu chetane tyabhidhiyate namastasye 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 namo namaha. O that goddess who exists in all beings, sarva bhuteshu, as consciousness, chetan, right? Chetan, that's very important because actually all these verses are describing ultimately different forms of consciousness. Right, she exists. What's consciousness? Consciousness is the substratum of everything, and it's everything. Everything exists in consciousness. And the Bhagavatam says, like a dream. What does that mean? Right, in a dream, the dreamer is the one conscious of the elements of the dream and the personalities and the emotions of the dream. But it's also not only aware of that, the unchanging awareness of everything, but it's also all the characters and everything in the dream. So every aspect of the dream is only the conscious dreamer. Right, so it's both the awareness, the unchanging awareness, and everything that's, everything that one is aware of. Right, when you say what's constant in all beings is consciousness. Right, yadavi sarva bhuteshu, the consciousness of all beings. We bow to you. We bow to you. We bow to you again and again. Our Guruji used to say, he used to describe his way of, in his language. He says, "There's some unseen power." That was his word, his language, right? The one unseen power manifesting everything, right? That unseen power is plain, he says, as the individual soul, right? He's plain as all of us, as plain as everything, right? Then these are his words I'm remembering. Just like in a light, electricity is one unseen, you don't see electricity clearly, but you see electricity by its functions, by its manifestations, right? So in a light bulb, electricity becomes light. In a refrigerator or an air conditioner, it becomes coldness. In a heater, it becomes heat. Right? In a fan, it becomes wind. Right? You can't get more difference in wind, light, heat, and cold. Right? But you can say all these are transformations of electricity. Right? Those things, so like this, all these different states of consciousness, all these states of being are just transformation of the unseen shakti. Right? See, it's the seen aspect of the unseen shakti. Right? So it's the words actually. It'll say buddhi rupena. We can chant these together. It's a nice litany. It changes because yadevi sarva bhuteshu, and then it has a word. And most people know this. You'll get it in a few seconds, right? And then we'll go back and read it. But it's nice to chant it. It has its own shakti to it. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu buddhi rupena samstita namastasye 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 namo namaha. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu nidra rupena samstita namastasye 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 namo namaha. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu kshuddha rupena samstita namastasye 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 namo namaha. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu chaya rupena samstita namastasye 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 namo namaha. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu shakti rupena samstita namastasye 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 namo namaha. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu trishna rupena samstita namastasye 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 namo namaha. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu kshanti rupena samstita namastasye 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 namo namaha. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu jati rupena samstita namastasye 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 namo namaha. Yadevi sarva bhuteshu lajja rupena samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Shanti Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Shraddha Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Kanti Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Lakshmi Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Vritti Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Smriti Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Daya Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Tushti Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Matri Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Bhranti Rupena Samstita Namastasyai 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 namo namaha There's a few more verses, but that breaks the rhythm, breaks the pattern a little bit. Yadavi sarva bhuteshu. First one, buddhi rupena samstita. Samstita, right? Yadavi, that goddess, sarva bhuteshu, in all beings. Samstita. Sam means everywhere, right? And stita means established, right? You are fixed without, you are fully fixed in every being. Right, as first one, buddhi. So that's one of like, just like that electricity in so many different ways we can see. So buddhi, intelligence, or intellect, subtle intellect. Nidra, sleep. Right, you know, yoga nidra, she puts everybody into sleep also, right? So this is another state of consciousness, right? Sleep is one state of consciousness. Wakefulness, another state of consciousness. Kshuddha means hunger. Right, that we know. Shuddha rupena yadavi sarva bhuteshu chaya rupena. Chaya means shadow, means appearance. Right, that one appears in so many different ways. Right, we see differently. Chaya rupena. Shakti rupena, as power, shakti. Yadavi sarva bhuteshu trishna rupena. Trishna means thirst. Right, so hunger and thirst. Kshanti rupena means forgiveness. Right. These are all good qualities. We see these qualities in others, and we don't realize this is the Divine Mother's presence. Even when we see these qualities in ourselves, we should realize the Divine Mother's presence. This is the best you want to see. We don't see God, right? She's saying God's everything. Something's intelligent. Something is hungry. Somebody is thirsty. These are all aspects of God. This is the form of the Divine Mother. Yadavi sarva bhuteshu jati. Jati means like birth or category or family or caste, right? All different categories of being, of born beings, jati rupena. Every type of category of a person, jati rupena samsada. Laja rupena. Laja, we talked the other day, means modesty. Like modesty and humility, like this, right? Yadavi sarva shanti rupena, peacefulness. Shraddha rupena. That's right. Shraddha. Shraddha? Faith. Faith, of course. If it's faith with a little extra something, as we discussed a couple of nights ago. Kanti rupena. Kanti also means like modesty. It's another word for that. Right? Lakshmi rupena. That everybody likes, right? That auspiciousness, good luck, favor, money, health, happiness. Lakshmi. We get the word lucky from this. Lakshmi rupena samsita. Vritti rupena. Vritti could be means activity, means vritti is mental activity. So in other words, every thought, every movement in consciousness, that's her form. We should see her in the movement and in the cessation of movement as pure consciousness, right? Every vritti. We try to, in Yoga Sutra, it starts with yoga is a cessation of the vrittis in the mind, in the citta, right? The problem is the nature of the mind is to have vrittis, right? The nature, it's very nice when the ocean is calm. How beautiful, right? How peaceful. You can see clearly to the when the ocean's calm, you can see all the shells and all the fish, everything. But it's not the nature of the ocean to be calm all the time, right? So while yoga may be defined as cessation of movement in the consciousness, the mind's not meant to be still. Otherwise, why have a mind? It's meant to think and act and accept and reject and all these things. So we should also see it in the movements of the mind. See, these are manifestations of the Divine Mother as the Shakti of consciousness. Vritti rupena samsita. Smriti rupena. Smriti?
Memory.
Good. Daya rupena. Compassion. Daya. Tushti rupena. Contentment. Satisfaction. Actually, it's interesting. You can go through people's names here. We have Kalyani, we have Dai, we have Tripti, and we have all the names. These are all forms of the Divine Mother, right? Tushti means tushta means satisfied, right? Satisfied. Matri Rupena, that one everybody likes. She appears as Mother. Moses is our Mother and Divine Mother. That's the easiest. If we want to see the Divine Mother, it's easy to see her as Mother. In the motherhood. So these are all wonderful. We have compassion, intelligence, auspiciousness, good favor, memory, thinking like this. But there's one here that always gets us. Mm-hmm. Pranti. Pranti means confusion. Right? She's also our bewilderment. Right? Remember, she's vijamaya and avijamaya. So it's also to see, even when we're confused, it is also her presence. Our confusion is her presence also. Branti rupena samstita. Indriyanam adishtatri bhutanam chakhileshuya bhuteshu satatam tasye vyapta devi namo namaha. Now this verse kind of summarizes this a little bit. O goddess, O divine mother, Devi, who presides over indriyanam adishtatri, who presides over all the indriyas, all the senses. Right, the consciousness runs and controls all our sense organs, right? And who adishtaputanam chakudesha, and who abides in all beings, like we've established, and who pervades all things. So who controls our senses by which we know everything, who abides in all beings and in everything. Right? So it's like, where do we find we can't find God? Where should we look for him? In everything, in everybody, and in us. Right? This is a simple answer, right? Right. Yapta Devi Namona, we bow to you, O Goddess, again and again. Chitti rupena ya Krishna metta vyapta stita jagat. Namastasye, 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 namo namaha. O Divine Mother, you pervade the world. You pervade the world and abide here, in us, as consciousness. Chitti rupena. In the form of consciousness, right? So this is the ultimate, the all-pervading goddess is everywhere and everything and here. O goddess, you pervade the world and abide here in the form of consciousness. Namastasye, 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 namona. We bow to you again and again. Let's see what happens with these prayers. So then they say, I don't have the Sanskrit in front of me, but it says, in ancient times, the gods, led by Indra, daily sang these prayers. O Ishwari, O Controller, O Source of all goodness, please bring us auspiciousness and end our suffering. We gods again worship you, being tortured by these arrogant demons. Being thus invoked by us with devotion, please destroy this very moment all our suffering. So they remembered in long ancient times, right, when we were tortured by the demons, we recited these verses. Of course, we know they're slightly different verses, right? But the purport's the same, right? Now they're more mature. They know what to say. They remember, oh yes, she's everything. She's our consciousness. She's who's all beings. Right? So sitting there in their meditation, you could also think this is just a form of meditation. Like my thoughts, my thinking, my form, my memory. You know, you can slowly see these are all her forms, trying to find consciousness, symptoms of consciousness. Right? So in ancient... excuse me. ancient times, the gods led by Indra daily sang these prayers. So, being thus invoked by us with devotion, please destroy this very moment all our sufferings. The sage continues, dear king, while the gods were thus worshipping, Parvati came there to bathe in the waters of the Ganga. Right, so they're high in the Himalayas, and as they're praying, Yadevi, Sarvabhuteshu, Vishnumaya, to something, they're doing their prayers, right? Parvati, who's Parvati means daughter of the mountains, Parvat, right? Right. She comes, they're in the Himalayas, right? And the Himalayas, and I'm going to give you the key to the symbolism. The Himalayas is matter, and our matter is our body, right? And our spine, like this, right? So Parvati, she who dwells in the Himalayas, in the mountain, right? She who dwells in this body, right? She comes and takes her bath in the river, right? In one of these streams that are flowing through our subtle body, right? That lovely-eyed lady asked the gods, who is being worshipped here? You people who are saying Yadavi, who is it that you're being worshipped, right? Then an auspicious form emerged from her physical body and gave the answer. So from her physical body of Parvati, another form came out of that body and answered. Right? So she said, who's being worshipped? And from within, something came out and said, gave the answer. These prayers adore me, sung by the gods after being reduced to nothing by the demon brothers Shumba and Nishumba. Right, who is being worshipped here? Me, the one within that comes out, right? Because Ambika, the mother, had came out of the form of Parvati, she is glorified by the name Kaushiki. Kaushiki means she who comes from within. Kosha means sheath. And Kaushiki is she who comes out of the sea, you pull a sword out from a sheath, right? So from this body, so what is that? It's a symbol of Kundalini. What comes out of this body? Right, when you can touch, when you can find the consciousness within this body, something happens. Right, the body idea drops away. That body idea dropping away and only consciousness remaining is experienced energetically as awakening Kundalini. Just another way of saying the same thing. Right, so this is a symptom of awakened Kundalini. She comes up, Kaushiki. Having thus come out, Parvati became dark, known by the name Kali. Right, means dark. Right, she's this golden. She becomes Kali, and she sat there in the Himalayas. I like this, right? So this is interesting. So she comes out and she sits on the mountain, right? Now you can go to where these things happen. We know where these things happen in the Himalayas, right? You can visualize it, right? But also has to happen. It's also a reference. The tantras, the sages say that everything in the external world is also in the internal world. So we have to know. How to all gods, all God, all holy places, all rivers, everything's in our body. So where it was, when she comes out, it becomes Kali, and she sits down on the mountain. That's what you're seeing in this form of Kali, right? Because in this image, it's not complete by the image. Usually, by the mantra, it says Kali stands on top of Shiva, who lays down like a corpse, right, as consciousness, and Shiva lays on Shava. Also Shiva as Shava. Shava means corpse, right? That, you know. So usually in an unawakened person like us, right, we have this huge body, huge mountain, right? Huge corpse, actually. Here it is, this body. It's actually not living. And where does Devi sit? She sits at the base of the spine, hidden within, trapped in matter, in Muladhara, in matter, trapped, right? Right, and we have this huge body, right? This corpse, and Shiva is our consciousness, which has always been symbolically understood to be on top of the head, and the Sahasrasara, right, the thousand-petal lotus, right. So here we are walking around, giant dead bodies, mountains of dead bodies, with Devi, the goddess, hidden, trapped in matter, and consciousness, disconnected but above, right? In the mantra we use to awaken, to visualize this in puja. Mula Shringa, Buddha Shringa Shishundapatena, that trapped in the elements, you know, you're trapped in the Muladhara. Please Ma, come up, Jwala Jwala, come up through the path of the Shishumna and unite with Shiva at the top of the head, the prayer, the Buddha Shuti Mantra. we say, right? And puja, it's done every day. We try at least try to visualize it, if not experience it, right? Some of you have kind of said visualization becomes realization bit by bit. You create a mental pathway for the experience, right? But then Kali, in the awakened state, Kali now stands on top of Shiva, which is on top of Shiva, and Shiva is on top of Shava, the physical body, right? So Kali comes up and sits on the mountain, right? This is where she's sitting on the shine, right? Parvati, the one within everything, has come out, has awakened, right? And shoved everything. She stands ready to act and as Shakti, as Mahash, as a Devi. Having thus come out, Parvati became dark, known by the name of Kali. She sat in the Himalayas. At that time, Chanda and Munda, who were servants of Shumba and Nishumba, saw Ambika, who had a supremely beautiful form. So this is a great scene. So Shumba and Nishumba have many important, very subtle generals, right? And two most wonderful ones, right? The ones we know the most, the ones I know the most, is called Chanda and Munda, right? And who are Chanda and Munda? In the Chandi, there's an esoteric secret hymn forbidden to be spoken to uninitiated devotees, lest we have our heads cut off. I'm going to give you the hint of what it meant. It gives the clue to this mantra. Who is Chanda and Munda? I'll just say enough so I don't get my head cut off and break the rule. Namaste, namaste Shumba Hantrecha Nishumba Shura Gatinye. Yes.
Yeah. Wiggled.
I'm trying to find it's not. I don't know. Kunchika. Misrupanye namakatya namaste shumba hantri cha nishumba jagata mahadevi. Here it is. Chamunda chandagatye cha ye kari vairdayani. This. Chamunda means slayer of lust and anger. You are the grantor of all blessings. Right, so Chanda, where are we here? Chanda, yes, it's actually this is coming. So Chanda here represents lust. And Munda, his brother, represents anger. They always go, just like Shumba and Nishumba, ego and self-loathing, right, all come together. Right, so lust and anger. Right? Why lust and anger? Because actually Krishna says in the Gita, triple is the gates to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. Right? It is, you know, he says, what does it mean? What is actually lust means selfish desire. Here, selfish desire. And what's anger? Frustrated desire. Right? Anger is always frustrated desire. There's no other thing. And greed is simply desire for wealth and anger. So when you have a desire and your desire is not fulfilled, you get angry. Even good anger, even righteous anger, you're angry that people are poor because you have a desire that people aren't poor. You're angry that people hurt children because you want children to be safe. Even that's an honest, good desire, right? Even your good desires, when they're fulfilled, become angry, right? So Chanda and Munda, lust and anger, very interesting. At that time, the demons Chanda and Munda, servants of Shumba and Nishumba, saw Ambika, who had a supremely beautiful form. They went and told their lord, the demon Shumba, O beloved king, such beauty has... there is a certain woman of supreme beauty sitting brilliantly on the Himalayas. Such beauty has never before been seen. You should find out who this lady is and take possession of her. O lord of the demons, among women she is a gem with exquisitely beautiful limbs. She illuminates the quarters with her luster. She is there, Lord of the demons, you should see her. Our Lord, the greatest jewels, stones, elephants, horses, etc. are already in your home. The gem of elements of elephants, Arivata, has been stolen from Indra. So has the sacred Parijata tree and the horse Uchai Shravas. You here in your courtyard, you have this beautiful chariot, bedecked with gems and pulled by swans, stolen from Brahma. You possess the treasures Mahapadma, the great lotus, which was taken from the god of wealth. And you possess the unfailing lotus garland stolen from the ocean. The gold showering umbrella of Varuna stands here in your home as does the excellent chariot that belonged to Prajapati. You have stolen the Shakti weapons of Yama called Utkrandita. The god of the ocean's noose is now owned by your brother. Your brother Nishumbha has every kind of gem produced by the sea. Agni also gave you his two garments purified of divine fire. Since you possess all the treasures of the world, why isn't this treasure of a woman possessed by you? Right. So this is nature of the ego. We know everything that Shumbha and Nishumbha have, they stole. Right? So that's their greatness. Look how great I am. I have all these powerful things that I stole. Right? The thing.
Sounds like politics.
Yes, this is it. So think of that. That's a good thing in that world of self-centeredness, right? That's an awesome thing, right? As long as I have it, and if I didn't deserve it, I wouldn't have got it. Very simple, right? Right. And so we can think as we take over, as our ego takes over this world, our world, right? Then we look up, right, at the Divine Mother, thinking that power, not realizing actually, this is the ability to even steal. Comes from her, right? She's a Shakti, but you're thinking, I shall hold that. It's my Shakti. I should own it. I should control it. Very dangerous thinking, right? The sage said, upon hearing the demon's Chandan Munda's words, the demon Shumbha sent the great demon Sugriva as his messenger to the goddess. Sugriva. Sugriva has a symbolic meaning of being a false friend, right? And our false friends tell us what we want to hear. Right, and they're not actually doing what's to our actual good. A real friend will only do what's good for you. Right, Sugriva is not like that. He said, go to her. Go and speak to her in a very pleasing way that she will quickly come to me in love. So he told his messenger, Sugriva, you go to that woman up there on the Himalayas. All of you, you can go. I'm going to let you go and you tell her. Tell her this message. Tell her that speak so sweetly, charm her, woo her. Right? This is a demon's way of wooing. Right? That she'll come to me out of love. Right? The messenger said, "He Sugriva then went to the lovely spot in the Himalayas where the goddess was staying and spoke to her with fine and sweet words. The messenger said, "Listen, listen, goddess, O Devi. Shumbha, the lord of the demons, now controls the three worlds. I have been sent by him to you with a message. Listen to the words of he whose order the gods cannot disobey and who has defeated all enemies and all the enemies of the demons." Now he speaks in Shumbha's words. The three worlds are mine, and all gods are my slaves. I now enjoy their share of the sacrificial offerings. I possess the greatest gems in the three worlds and have stolen the best of elephants and the vehicles of the kings of the gods. The gods himself offered me with reverence the best of horses that came from the churning of the milk ocean. O lovely lady, whatever rare objects that existed amongst the gods, Gandharvas and Nagas, are now with me. We see that you, O Devi, are a jewel among womankind. As such, you too should come to me, since I am the supreme enjoyer. This is great. So that's the thing, is that the ego wants to be the enjoyer. That's the secret. That's the line. Since I am the supreme enjoyer, you come to me and be enjoyed. Right? You should come to me or to my powerful younger brother Nishumbha. Yeah, but they think that. But what a very strange thing to say. I am the supreme control of everything, and you should come to me or to my younger brother. Right, that's a very strange thing. Right, because that ego is trying to fulfill the brokenness in his being. Right, so that's why they're the same person. They're reverse sides of the same thing. Right. O unsteady-eyed lady. That is very nice. These are very, in Indian aesthetics, these are very romantic terms. Unsteady-eyed lady.
What is the implication of
I'm not good. I'm a sannyasi. I shouldn't think of the unsteady-eyed ladies for too long. Here, please excuse me. Oh, unsteady-eyed lady, for you are in truth a jewel. If you marry me, you will get wealth beyond compare. Think this over and become my wife. I like not think this over, make a decision. Think this over and then accept my offer. Right.
Assume the sale.
So the sage said, hearing this, the adorable and auspicious Durga, by whom this universe is supported, became serene and spoke. You have spoken the truth. You have said nothing untrue in this matter. Shumba is indeed the lord of the three worlds, along with his brother Nishumba. But how can a vow be broken? Listen to a vow I made in my youth out of foolishness. He that conquers me in battle, thus removing my pride, shall become my husband. Right. This is a very good line. Right. It's like, I loved, you're right, he's very powerful. He's stolen everything. You should definitely be like, but when I was a kid, I made this vow as a young girl that I'd only marry the man who defeats me in battle. Right. Defeating me, he will have my hand in marriage. Why delay? Go. The messenger said, oh, Devi, you are being haughty. Do not speak like this before me. Who is there in the three worlds who can stand before Shumba and Nishumba? None of the gods can stand face to face with even the other demons in battles. What to speak of you, a mere woman? This is, I think, he's slowly feeling everyone's fate with these statements, you know. If Indra and the other gods could not stand up in battle against Shumba and the other demons, how will you, a woman, face them? Listen to my advice. Go willingly to Shumba and Nishumba. Do not lose your dignity by being taken to them, dragged by your hair. We can interpret this in many ways, that tendency to think in a extremely masculine, macho culture, right? As kids, we imagine cavemen to be this way in cartoons, right? You go, you knock her on the head with a stick, and you pull her with her hair to your cave. That's how you get married, right? Right. It's a very. It's almost comedic, right? But why is it part of our culture? It's part of that trying to force and drag, you know. And this is what the demons are doing. Actually, to take a little bit step to understand some of the symbolism that's going on here, in our own body, not even the awakened form, in our regular form, Devi is form of Kundalini, as Kula Kundalini, at the base of the spine, right? She's it's our lowest chakra, right? But Muladhara, for certain animals, for certain beings, is the highest chakra. There's many chakras above, many chakras below. I forget how many there is listed as hundreds and hundreds of chakras, right? All the different deva worlds and hellish realms, right? So like in certain animals, Muladhara may be the highest chakra, right? It's our beginning point, but some it may be their highest point. And to the demons, it's way, they're in hell. They're looking up at the divine. We're looking down at the divine mother trying to wake her up, right? They're looking up, trying to bring her down, trying to steal her, bring her, and this is trying to pull, you know, they're looking up at her and trying to, don't make us grab and pull you down to where we are. You can see sometimes we may do this, right? We have this divine power and we want to use it incorrectly, not the way it wants to be used. We're not worshiping. And sometimes also as yogis, we think, oh, I'm going to awaken Kundalini and force Kundalini to do this and move it this way, move it that way and like that. Some yogis say this is almost like trying to drag her with your hair. Right, so it's like trying to rape the Divine Mother. It's not possible, right? You should instead we worship the Divine Mother. Oh, we offer flowers. We ask Ganesha, who's her gatekeeper, please allow us entrance. Please let her out, right? And then we worship and let her come as she likes. We worship Devi. We don't try to control it, right? So sometimes as yogis we get too forceful, thinking we can manipulate Shakti and Kundalini. This is also an egotistical thing. Exactly.
Yeah, if I wanted something later.
You wait. Right. You wait at her door, right? And then until she comes up, right? So you have to be careful. Sometimes even not thinking, oh, this is what we're supposed to do, sadhana. Right? Sadhana is we have to do pranayama, do kundalini, we can do, but you have to, even those practices are designed only, what are those? They're like different types of pranayama, they're called nadi shodhana, which means purification of the passageways. Right? We purify the environment, right? Like we've spent the last 2 weeks cleaning this house. We washed the roof, we cleaned every book, everything before Durga Puja, before Navaratri. It's part of Navaratri's cleaning, right? Not that we're gonna force Ma to come. If you clean, then you invite her in. You make a proper place and you invite. What Swami Parananda says, don't try to see God. Behave in the way God will come. Right? Prabhupada said also, don't try to see Krishna. Behave so nicely that Krishna will want to come and see you. Right? Of course, we behave nicely because we want to see Krishna. But we can't force our will like this, right? We can't force God to do anything. What we can do, out of our longing and devotion, we make everything arrangement, right? That's called, so our puja, similar to the puja, our japa, our even yagyas like that, we're not trying to manipulate Devi. We're worshipping her and we clean, I mentioned our Guruji says that all sadhana is mana shuddhi. There's nothing else in sadhana, only purification of mind and heart. And hatha yoga, then we purification of the organs and the nadis and all these type of things, right? And in yogic process, we take purification a little more literally. And we all kinds of stuff to purify, right? But why is it? We want the free flow. We want to make it so it's a good place for her to move respectfully, right? Not thinking we can pull her by her hair and make her do what we want with our mantras or our tantras or like this, right? There's one I'm remembering. God, I'm forgetting the source of the story. It may have been one of Robert Svoboda's books or something. But some person, they were having some family trouble, right? There's some money problem or something like that. And so some tantric said, oh, here's one mantra. You can do this mantra and that will get the result, right? So he sat in his courtyard and he started, did appropriate things according to the rules and chanted this mantra. And some old woman, a dirty old woman in dirty sari came and put some money in his lap and went away, right? He was praying like this, right? And he kind of shocked him. This is like mantra works immediately, right? But then he thought, what type of mantra am I controlling the old? It's like, what type of what is that trying to force? You know, what type of spirit, what type of deity can be controlled by a simple mantra like this to give me money? He realized it wasn't a very high class mantra. Because and the deity that was being controlled by the mantra was not a very nice thing, dirty thing, right? And he realized that I could be chanting God's name for purification of my, that same sadhana I did to get some spirit to come and give me money, thinking I got from one book on tantra or somebody taught me, or I could have chanted Ma's name out of devotion, right? And Ma's name is prosperity itself. Where she is, all everything becomes proud, everything becomes happy, right? There's no problem like this, right? Attitude is wrong. Trying to control rather than worship. So Ma continues. The goddess spoke. It is true that Shumba is strong and Nishumba heroic. But what can I do after taking my ill-considered vow long ago? Go to the Lord of the Demons and tell him all that I have said. He can do whatever he thinks is proper. So she's picking a fight. Sometimes it's necessary. Thus ends the fifth chapter entitled The Conversation of the Goddess with the Messenger, found in the Devi Mahatmya of the Markandeya Purana, spoken when Savarni was Manu. There's a few paragraphs that are summaries. This is my summary notes for the thing. I'll see whether or not we covered them. After the struggle with their lower animalistic tendencies represented Mahishasura in the previous story, the gods became complacent and unwittingly allowed more refined enemies, the demons Shumba and Nishumba, to once again usurp their sovereignty. Shumba represents conceit and his brother Nishumba represents self-loathing. Conceit and self-loathing always go together, as real self-esteem is always a result of devotion and humility. In the previous episode, the gods prayed to Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva for help. But remembering how spiritual power emerged from their own bodies, forming the great goddess, they now retreated to the lofty peak of the Himalayas and invoked their own Shakti, spiritual power, by chanting the Aparajita Stuti, also known as Tantroktam Devi Stuti. As electricity manifests in heat, as electricity manifests as heat in the heater, cold in the cooler, and light in the lamp, so the universal consciousness manifests in all beings as intelligence, sleep, hunger, energy, etc. Recognizing consciousness as divinity is a goal of meditation and worship. The goddess first appears as Parvati, the daughter of the Himalayas. Parvati represents the power of consciousness known as Kundalini within the body, here represented by the Himalayan mountain. Kundalini exists in most people in a latent form at the base of the spine, just below the Muladhara chakra. As this chakra is predominated by the earth element, consciousness is trapped in matter. From Parvati, goddess Kaushika appears. Kaushiki means she who comes out of the sheath. This refers to the awakened Kundalini, who, when liberated from attachment to the body and the material world, rises energetically up the spine, leading to progressively more enlightened states. It is this awakening consciousness that destroys the subtle demons that are encountered along the spiritual path. In this story, when the demons see the awesome power and beauty of the Divine Mother, their first response is to try to possess her. This is the nature of the demons to steal what they want by force and try to enjoy through possession. The Divine Mother can never be controlled by these methods, and trying to is akin to attempted rape. She reveals herself to those who approach her with purity, service, surrender, and devotion. Mahamayi ki jai. Any questions? Any points?
No, yes.
Knocking. And knocking, what Rampriyadas put in the poem, knocking is not trying to push the door closed also. It's not...
knocking nicely.
But actually, because she's... What Jesus says, what is it about knocking? Knocking...
Knocking the door shall be opened unto you.
Yeah, that's so it's a guarantee. Just knock and you'll be open. We don't have to force. You know, sometimes we have to fight, but we shouldn't fight with her. We may have to do some these stories or some fight with our lower tendencies and energies, right? But simply remembering her, that's the thing. The point is, remembering her destroys all suffering, destroys all the demons. So it's not that hard. It's not that we have to do something very outrageous, right? We simply have to remember her. But remembering her is not easy. That's the problem, right? We remember everything but her, right? She's the only thing. She's us, she's everything and everybody, yet it's hard to remember her. This is the problem.
You can right? text
but this yeah. but this is a practice, right? This is called sadhana. Daily, what Yoga Sutra says, yoga abhyas means a daily regular practice. Over a long time, over years, slowly, right? And as you progress, another set of demons comes up, and those get destroyed. And another set of demons come up, and those get destroyed. Right? That's how we can purify ourselves. It's not that they failed. This is what's supposed to happen. First, Mahishasura is supposed to take over, and he's supposed to be killed. Then Shumba and Nishumba are supposed to come up, and they're supposed to be killed. And along with them is Raktabija and Dumralochana and Chandan Munda and all these wonderful demons. The names are very powerful, right? That's supposed to, it means it's working. In order, once again, claim about cleaning this house. We made a huge mess in cleaning this house, isn't it? Right? You start sweeping everything. You make a mess in order to clean, right? Because you're bringing all dirty things out, right? So this is important, right? So it's not like, oh, they forgot. And once we can think of the story this way. Oh, they let their guard down. Another demon came up, but. This is supposed to have. If we take this text as stages, as the way we're trying to interpret it, we've been taught to interpret it, as stages of sadhana, stages of our spiritual life, this is the next stage. Shumba and Nishumba have to deal with. Before you can deal with them, you have to deal with their generals, their servants, which are Chandan Munda, right? Dumralochana, it's another great one, right? Raktabija, these other ones will come as the days go, we'll read their exciting personalities and ultimate demise, right? And there's also something about this, about the story, is that by reading the story, we think about this happening. But in the reading, it happens. That's the amazing thing. That the scriptures always say is that the very reading, hearing of the story, accomplishes it, the story, in a certain sense, right? Because minimally, we're hearing a story about how remembering God ends suffering. So, let's say I started speaking at 7:20. It's now 8:34. Over an hour, we're sitting here, right? Besides, the nature of the mind is to not be able to focus for too long, so we may go here and there a little bit. But even our flights here and there, there's some based upon something I said, you remember something, and then you come back to where. Still, basically, for the last hour, we're thinking of remembering her, right? So the very story accomplishes what the story sets out to accomplish. It's the mystery of the story, why scriptures are so important. Jai Ma Kali.
Jai Ma Kali. Jai Swami Vajrayana.